Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. In this season, we're looking at the 25 powerful promises from God. The book is authored by Mike Shrib, and the experience is a spiritual transformation when we quit praying problems and start praying promises. Quit praying problems. That's the time to tongue twister early in the morning. So when we quit praying problems and start praying promises, and God never breaks his promises, they are all yea and amen. So we ask you, do you know them? You may know some, but did you know there's over 7,000 promises? So as you join us, we will discover our inheritance. In other words, we'll open the wheel to see what we've inherited because we have been born into a new kingdom. And so the author shares with us this new birth in our promise number 2. But we want to go back and look at the very theme of this section, which is the promise. It is section 2 in the book. The first section gave us the revelation of who we're in covenant with. Someone has left us an inheritance. Promises. And all are true. So establishing the revelation of our new life in Christ, the mysteries of the rainbow, the patriarchs of the promises, not one of the words will fail, and receiving a new identity. That was section 1 in establishing the revelation. Hallelujah. So first, you got to know that you're in someone's will. And then the next thing, when you inherit something, you need to know a little bit about that person and your relationship to them. And so that's establishing this wonderful mystery of our new life in Jesus Christ, which we receive as a divine revelation when we accept him as our Savior. And so these promises, over 7,000, why are they even given? But it says the promises by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these things you might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these promises are given so that we can now, as we studied the last book, we can be transformed by the divine power of the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father God, so that our hearts are ruled by them, the Godhead, and our emotions, our will, and our thoughts will now be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so he says the reason he gives this promise, because these promises are our power. They are our power to be transformed with the heart of Christ. So we can, in God's heart. Now we may know what God's heart is and intellectually understand it, but unless we are spiritually empowered, we cannot possess it. And so he's saying, I have these promises that I've made to you so that in our covenant relationship, because now you belong to me, because you believe in my son, Jesus Christ, and so now these things are going to be true for you. So these are the promises. And they're going to be true for you so that you now can start looking like my kingdom children. So we are children of God. Now we're going to find out we're also children of promise and children of an inheritance. And it's important to know that not only are you someone's child, but you also need to know something about that person because it affects you directly. We're going to the whole focus is for us to now look like the one who's our Father. So in order to look like him, just like with DNA, normally in your first birth, you had that DNA from your mom and dad, and those different personality traits were written in your chromosomes and all of that, and some you developed after you got here to enhance your personality, but they came from the world around you, the natural world, the natural part of your physical body. Now that you've been born again, you now have a spiritual aspect, a spiritual body, and you have a new life in a new place because now you've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous kingdom. And so he shares with us inheriting God's kingdom after we understand. So after the divine revelation of understanding, spiritually speaking, that it is written that eye have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So he searches them on a daily, regular basis, and he downloads them into our everyday. We talked about the abundance of benefits that we are loaded up with daily. So this is no shyster family we've been born into, but it is such a unique family. It has its own place, its own kingdom, its own king, and it has precepts and concepts that are different from the natural world because it is the spiritual world, but it is also the world where we dwell with our power. One of the things the author shares is the fact that once we have this power on a spiritual realm, then it overflows into the earth realm through us. And this is how his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Because you do know that once you have received Christ Jesus, you are now sitting in heavenly places. So you are now at the king's table. You're sitting at heavenly places, and you have the abundance of blessings, divine, powerful blessings that are yours on a regular, daily basis so that you may be transformed into with the heart of Christ. And by doing that, you reflect him in the earth realm so others can come to know him. That is our function, to present our king in the earth realm as it overflows through the powerful anointing and benefits that we receive from our inheritance on the spiritual realm, and it overflows into the earth realm so that others get a glimpse of who we are a part of and the family that we come from. And so, you know, when you come from a very prestigious family, even in the earth realm, they call name dropping. You know, you're part of the Kellogg or the, famous people, bummer. But anyway, you're part of their family, and you drop names, and by doing so, you get a certain level of attention drawn to your family. And so based on the knowledge that we have of that name that you drop, it will decide the kind of respect that we will give you as a member of that family, and not just respect. But remember, there are other things that people that drop names that are part of certain families, they receive just because they are a part of that family. But one of the things we have to do is to make sure that the image we are presenting to the world gives them the true understanding of the power of the Father and the King of our kingdom. And so we don't want to give a distorted view by not having progressed in the transformation of our lives and our hearts by the power of his promise. And so it'd be terrible if you say you're part of the, I don't want to say Joneses, but part of the Smiths, and the Smiths live in a raggedy box in Tent City. You would get no one wants to be a part of that family, nor would they give that family the respect. However, when we live beneath our inheritance, then they don't see the true source of the King and in his kingdom. And so we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors to a new place, another place. We have inherited the kingdom of God. And so we start today's lesson with the scripture from James 2 and 5. Listen, my beloved brother, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those that love him? So now we are heirs to a kingdom. And what are we to know and to project about this kingdom? So we're pretty much just going to go through the lesson and read it, just those who haven't perhaps got the book or been able to. But it says, within our fallen nature, we have no capacity to believe in the true and living God. So it's really impossible for others to believe in God unless he first introduces that kind of faith into our hearts. And he does this by giving us the gift of faith. Those who receive such a generous endowment from the Creator may be impoverished naturally, but spiritually they become rich of the earth. And what we have to realize is, you know, it's really impressive when you see a poor person that has this kind of continence that you would think, what's wrong with them? Don't they know they're poor? And yet everything they need, they have. That is them giving a proper representation of what a child of God has and is like. And so he goes on to say, we become rich because what we have will never fade away. The richest person in the world, one day, the next day, they can be the poorest person because they can lose what they have. All it takes is, you know, what they say, a decimal point in the wrong place on a bottom line, and it can be total destruction. And one of the things we hear how people who name drop and they get this reputation because of a family background, but also those same people can lose it when the prospect of that family becomes negative and it is no longer enriched. So all of the favor they receive, they lose. And a lot of people aren't really that rich monetarily, but it's the power of their name that gets them the things that they want and they desire because they impress people. And people want to make a good impression interaction with rich people because they figure, you know, I can get a break or they'll remember me and, you know, that helps me to look good. So by that same token, we have received an inheritance that will never change. It will never devalue. They'll sell this one insurance They say that the rates will never go up, the service will never go down, and you can never lose this insurance. And that's the way God is. The rates will never go up if the price is already paid. It will never change. There's no clause that, oh, yeah, but the price will never change. The benefits will always be there and always be yours and be in abundance and be new every day. What kind of insurance do you have that will make your policy give you insurance that's new and different every day? And then it will last forever because the source of our kingdom, the king of our kingdom, is the everlasting Father. So it's a good thing to know a name that we can associate with the king in our kingdom and also to understand the power of that name. And so him being the everlasting Father means he will always be there. He will last forever. And that which he has given us is eternal, meaning it has no end. And so as a result, our inheritance is extremely stable and extremely valuable and extremely desirable. But people have to see that through the way we live as members of this new family. And so he shares the fact that in response to this presence of faith, and remember, this is a faith and a gift that God has given us. In our hearts, God gives us his kingdom. So he doesn't just give you faith in who he is, but he actually gives us everything he has. It says his kingdom. The word kingdom means a king's domain, which is this natural world includes both the land mass and the people who live there. Inside the boundaries of the kingdom, the personality of the king dominates everything. So he gives us a world and a place to use our inheritance. The kingdom of God is a spiritual domain under God's authority. It is filled with his holy presence and permeates with his personality. Not just his presence, but also his personality. So when you say, well, you know, that's how I am, then you need to stop and realize, oh, so this is how I should be because I should have the personality of Christ because I have the power to claim that and live that in the spirit realm, and because that power is so powerful, it will overflow into the natural. For this reason, Paul affirms that the kingdom of God, and here's one of the most valuable insights we need to understand, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, why are these things so unique? Because they're really only unique to God's kingdom. In this world, there are, and nothing in this world is stable. And so when you may have peace, he said, this man will say peace, and war is over here. You know, and so there's always a conflict going on. And joy, that absolute contentment in who you are and how you are maintained and established by that which you believe in. And righteousness, always in a place of goodness, in a place of mercy, in a place of right relationship, actually, with the king, or we won't say the king, but with the creator, because that's a different place. So now we're talking about our rights and our personality in the earth realm will then have righteousness, joy, and peace. It says there are no ordinary human these are no ordinary human attributes, but extraordinary, supernatural expressions of a divine personality. Because remember, we need to have the personality of the king. It says the righteousness which is from God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, because the world doesn't understand it. It cannot, because these are divine truths that and mysteries that are only revealed to those that have become a part of this new kingdom. And then a joy that's unspeakable, all flowing out of a love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, so that we can look like him and have his heart and his personality come through us. Come through us through the gifts of the Spirit, which we've often studied and talked about, and even made assessments as to where we stand with some of the unique gifts that should come from the Spirit, which are of the personality of God, the perfected personality of God. It says this new revelation and this new insight is only given to those that are new, been born again, are new in the kingdom of God. So there's so often we look at news and we look at people's actions and the things that they do and we go, you know, I just don't understand why they do that. Of course we don't understand, because we don't have a reprobate mind. We don't have a lost hope. We don't have a dark spirit, but we have the spirit of light. And because we can see clearly righteousness, we can see that clearly, but only because God has given us that insight, only because God has given us enlightened eyes that we understand. We understand because we now have a God's eye view. The only way to get a God's eye view is to surrender to God so that he can lift us up and we can see beyond the natural, and we will see in the spirit realm. Because remember, we are seated in heavenly places. So oftentimes we're seated there, but our eyes are closed. You know, we're seated there and our eyes are closed because our mind is like the children of Israel, remembering what it was like in Egypt, okay, because that was something we were familiar with. So often you have to take the scales off eyes so that we can see clearly this is the new place. You know, we've been looking through tainted lenses and distorted lenses, and we've come to accept and expect the substandardness of life, and not the life that's more abundant, that has already, remember we said, it's been purchased and paid. If the price won't change, it is done, and it is ours. And so that abundancy of life, we have to almost slowly open our eyes to, because it's such a grand and great thing. Perhaps it would be overwhelming to all of a sudden wake up and all of this is ours, and we wouldn't know how to manage it. So slowly and gently and lovingly, he enlightens our eyes so that we understand the hope of our calling and the great inheritance that we have and the riches of these inheritance, so that we understand they are so we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ, so that we can be good representatives of the new kingdom. So we have declaring and establishing the kingdom was the emphasis in Christ's teaching from the beginning to the end. He always said he was doing the will of the Father. He always made mention of the fact that this new kingdom is come. And he even tried so diligently to explain this concept, the precept of the new kingdom, to his disciples. But again, they kept having these eyes that had not been enlightened yet, and all they could see or understand was how a natural kingdom goes. And he kept teaching them, no, this is a new kingdom. He says when he came out of the wilderness in the beginning, he came out saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when he says repent, and that's one of the first lines on his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And poor in spirit means you understand who you were, and you repent for that. Your spirit was poor. And so now you become totally impoverished to the world so that you can be enriched in the kingdom. And so those are the choices that we have to make. Do you want to just be, you know, the worldwide and world wise, or do you want to be kingdom minded and kingdom empowered and kingdom enriched? And so to do that, the eyes of our understanding have to be enlightened. A new revelation, a new insight, a new world, a new place that we are now citizens of when it comes with new rules. And only the place our riches will work is in heavenly places. But remember, it will spill over. And the author shares that with you. He says the kingdom of heaven is life. Christ always said the kingdom of heaven is life. He gives us what our attitude and our mind says to him. Blessed are. He says finally, after raising the dead, he spends 40 days with his disciples speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine 40 days just talking about the new life, the new kingdom, the new land? It says the term kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are synonymous, describing the same kingdom by referring to the one who rules over it or the place from which it is ruled. So he wants us to know this is the kingdom of heaven. This is not an earthly kingdom, but it is a divine kingdom. And it is not the kingdom of man, but it's the kingdom of God. So it's not going to work man's way, it's going to work God's way. He said because it originates in the heavenly realm, whenever it manifests on earth, divine heavenly influence spills over. So even though our power works in the spirit realm, when it works, it has such a power that it spills over into the natural realm. So we have to first understand its focus is in the spirit realm. So it is not in the, oh, give me a car, give me a house, give me a, you know, perfect life. No, it's give me the power to suffer like Christ. Give me the power to have the joy in all things. Give me the power that is peace above all man, with all man, with the heart of one another, because this is the heart of Christ. And so this heavenly influence then spills over in the earthly affairs because you're going to do life on earth the way Christ did. Well, hallelujah, he says, because you do what I do, and then even more. He says this is why Christ taught us to pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And remember, we are seated in heavenly places. One of the pivotal passages in the New Testament is a conversation that Jesus had with a Jewish leader named Nicodemus, to whom he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's a wonderful word to underline, is see the kingdom of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So often we want to physically see with our natural eyes. But Paul says, no, pray that your eyes of your understanding, those eyes, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. In other words, the light that Christ is in the world will shine so that your view will now be a God's eye view, because it's a powerful view, because it is a view that encompasses everything. all eternity. That's the God side of you. You understand the natural as opposed to the spiritual. You understand the power of eternity as being more than the power of the temporal. You understand that your riches will never change because they are attached to the King who never changes, who's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and who is the Ancient of Days, and He is the beginning, Alpha, and He is the end, Omega. So when we understand that, those are the enlightenments that cause us to see the Kingdom of God. And then you will look around, and rather than see the fallen state of man, you will see the hope that's in the land because of kingdom view. So you will see man no longer as this evil continuous, but you will see God's view of man. You will see how much God loved them that He gave His life and gave His Son to die for them. And so when you start seeing them the way God sees them, you will start responding to them differently. And when you do that, you will then cause the earth to be as it is in heaven. So we need to see the kingdom of God. We need to see the things that God values, the things that are eternal, the things that are of value, and not waste our emotions and our thoughts and our will on things that are temporal or things that may change or things that are not stable because they are part of this world. It says the Greek word translated again in the scripture, you must be born again, is another. It means is another and literally means from above. So that's another birth. That is a birth from above. So that's a real thing. That is a real event. And at the precise moment that we were born again, we received a new spirit from above. Just like at the precise moment that we were born on earth, we received that spirit of our parents. And so you come out brown or white or yellow or red with hair, no hair. You immediately have your genealogy apparent. And that's exactly what happens when we're born again because the breath of God is then placed in us and we have Holy Spirit. And we are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so we are not taken, just like they take you out of the delivery room and put you into the arms of your parents. You know, we're taken and we're placed in the arms of Christ, in the arms of God, and seated down in heavenly places. It says once the word translated means to be instantly removed from one state of being to another. Once two lovers of God are translated into God's kingdom, they inherit all the glorious things that fill the dimensions of existence. And remember, these are things of existence that have always existed because God always is, was, and will be. When Jesus sent forth His disciples to preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So in other words, you've been transformed, and you've been given the power of all these things. And it's a gift, because we don't have the capacity to know to love them. But He gives us that faith as a gift, so that we can now receive His kingdom as the place that we live in. In other words, Jesus was saying, tell them God can reign as King in their hearts. Tell them they can experience His spiritual kingdom. Tell them all traits of that kingdom can overflow into their lives. Then show them tangible proof of the practical and powerful way this kingdom living is evidenced. This is the will of God for those who are rich in faith. And I believe that when he shared this with us, he's telling them, you know, he should go heal the sick and raise the dead. But he's also sharing with them, share your faith so that they can see. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so they need to see that. They need to see it lived out in us. They need to read us as a people so that they understand that this is even possible, that these miracles are possible, because they don't know what the kingdom of God is like unless it is shared with them. And that's our job. That's our purpose. That's our mandate. That is the task that we have at hand, is to show proof of this powerful and practical way that the kingdom living is evident. So they won't know unless they see it lived out, and they see it lived out through us and our lives. We experience this transformation, and as we experience this transformation, others are experiencing us. They're seeing us transformed. He shares with us about a miracle for his cousin. And this happened because in all of our readings, we always see that there's someone that is sharing Christ with someone else, whether they invite them to a church service, a worship, a revival, a certain specific tent meeting. They're always sharing, always reaching out to those that aren't, so that they can be exposed to this wonderful faith and this awesome king and kingdom of the of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It says when one person has this experience. It's like we had the experience weekend, and because you had that experience, the next person that has an encounter with you should also be a recipient of the experience that you had. And that's how it goes abroad into the world. We want to even take time to allow you to share some of your experience and comments from the conference, because it was a very powerful time. But we want to close with the fact that the author says to make this proclamation, proclaim that God has made us rich in faith. And remember, he made us rich in faith. We need to relinquish that burden that we think we have to, you know, become rich in faith. He says he'll make us rich in faith. Because of this gift he has given, we have inherited the kingdom of God and everything in it. And this is what we have to believe. We have inherited everything in it. Divine joy, peace, love, knowledge, wisdom, and power. And then we are to expect the manifestation of the kingdom in the form of deliverance and healing. And then our daily affirmation before the King of Kings is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and as it shows forth in me with you on the throne of my heart. It says every thing contrary to the kingdom must depart from my life in the name of Jesus. This is God's promise to me. So now we're praying promises and not praying problems. And we must claim the supernatural impartation and expect its manifestation. And so in our proclamation, we have to proclaim, we have to speak it, we have to declare it, we have to expect it, because there are his promises, and then we have to claim it. And so that's coming to the table and getting our inheritance on a daily basis as our daily bread. Amen? So, questions, insights from when you read, the insights that you received, or the insights from the experience. I understand we weren't together last week. However, I think most of us were a part of the experience, powerful moves and teachings going forth and experiences that we had. So I open the floor to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Everybody is on speaker.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, yes.
Good morning, Overseer. I'm going to speak regarding the experience. It was a class that Bishop Harris did, and at that time, I was waiting to go into an encounter. However, we went in this room. Apostle told us to go in this room, and Apostle Bishop Harris spoke, and it was in regard to, I'm not looking at the complete title, but it was regarding delaying of not walking in our purpose. And he went around the room asking why we wasn't, you know, and delaying what God has put in us, you know, and it brought the attention to me about when God brought us in this world, we was full. Who want to leave out of this world still full and not empty yourself out? And it was just the way he expounded on it and explained, and it brought so much insight, and all of us was with our mouth open. You know, but it gave revelation and truth to where we need to be and be about the business of the Lord. And it's just what you had stated about, you know, it's our responsibility to whatever God has poured into us, whatever, even leading people to Christ, salvation, telling people about the goodness of the Lord. And that continue to go forth in that, whether you, even in fear, you know, just do it, you know. And if you open your mouth wide, I know that, I love that scripture, he will fill it, you know. So it was just, I learned so much. It was not just that not the wonders, but everything that was set up with the, worship room. It was just so phenomenal from beginning to end, and it hasn't been the same since I even got back. You know, trials, tribulations will come, but just being in his presence no matter what it looks like. And I just, this to me was the best experience and encounter that I've had in a long time. So to God be the glory.
Well, amen. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Anybody else? Any insights from the reading today?
Hi. Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
Regarding the experience, I actually only got in one class, and that was a good class, but I really want to speak to the whole one-on-one situation. And, you know, I thank God for, I guess, the stretching. I'm saying that as I stumble, like, okay, am I saying that? But I thank God for the stretching, because it kind of reminded me of some things when I talk to people who do what's called spiritual formation. You see that a lot now. You can get a degree in it and that kind of thing. And that is really kind of outside of my comfort zone as a not an office, but I guess as an operation. Just the whole idea of someone coming in, not knowing who that someone is, not knowing what their issues are, you know, and to be in a place where you really have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you, just like Elk Pat just said, the whole idea of you open your mouth, you know, and he'll speak for you. So, I mean, it was nerve-wracking on one end, just in the anticipation of, okay, what is this going to be? But, you know, God is faithful. So, you know, I mean, so it was fine. You know, I'm talking about at the end of the thing, you know, once it was done, you know, it was fine. But there was definitely, on my part, a lot of anxiousness about, okay, what? You know, I like to have what I'm doing so I can write my questions, write my notes, da-da-da-da-da, you know, but when it was just a very different experience to, you know, be in a place and truly relying on the Holy Spirit from, with the anchor point simply being, and I say that guardedly when I say simply being, because I know there's nothing really simple about the Lord, but simply being the names that you had, you know, whatever God had given you in that. So it definitely was an experience for me. You know, and I enjoyed the thing overall, but just that whole one-on-one, that was just a different place for me spiritually to be ministering from, because, like I said, I had never really had that experience with that kind of structure. Like, okay, anybody could come in and just trust the Lord, you know, he'll give you what you need, you know, because that's a little different than when you're talking to somebody and you kind of know who it is, you kind of know, you know, what the situation is. So it was, you know, it was a learning, and it was a stretching experience, which has been my experience with laborers anyway. But you know, to God be the glory. You know, that's
amen.
Be rampant on you.
Well, thank you for sharing, because I believe what that's saying to us is he has brought us to a place where he can trust us with what he gives us and what he alone gives us, and that we will hear it and we will use it, as you said, to God being the glory. And so it is a place of humble submission when we just humbly submit. Here I am, an empty vessel. And then he gives us insight into the precious lives of his people so that they can receive directly from him. And so that indicates that, you know, he has prepared vessels that have emptied themselves out and trust that he will fill them up. So that which the people get is from God and God alone. And so I think it's such a powerful experience to be humbled in such a way that God trusts us to minister to his people. I think that the experiences will always look different for everybody. They won't be maybe a particular session, or it could be a word, it could be a walk. I mean, it could be when you were sitting, you know, when you were looking, and just any of innumerable encounters. And so I encourage you to share your encounter, as well as to write it to see your spiritual growth and your spiritual development. Anybody else?
Amen. This is Pastor Rogers.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to pull over to the side. I want to talk about the one-on-one encounters. And that was a new experience with myself, whereas I didn't know what to do, but I had faith and I believed that if I was assigned to that I could do it. In that, I learned the power of God, whereas he would show you what it is that other people needed and that we could touch and agree. And it was like I was rejoicing and it was filled. And I noticed that it was leaders that came to the room. Well, I'm going to go back because when the prophet told us we could pick any room we wanted to, I knew I had an experience in the massage room that first day. So I picked that room. I went back to that room. And God, okay. He just lit up. The anointing was flowing so high. It was like the Holy Spirit was just giving us directions on what to do. And I heard someone just mentioned stretching. So God had used me to stretch people and pull and just let them feel the stretch of reaching the mark, what it was that he wanted us to do. And then I noticed that, I believe that was Minister Pat said, I was attacked. I was even attacked at the retreat, but I didn't allow the enemy to, to really get the joy. I didn't get the pressure of him trying to steal my joy, I put it that way. And then even coming home, he continued to attack. But then what God had shown me for other people, he showed me that I could do it. He said, you believe and have faith in me. Because that was one of the questions I asked. Out of five people that came in the 101, three, when they called that night, when they called for prayer, three of them came up for prayer, and I was like, wow, what we had received in that room, oh, it was enough to last for eternity. But when God wanted us to hear him, and when we can hear it, we got to really believe and trust in God. And basically, the young man that put here the voice of truth, that was another thing that God kept repeating himself. Hear the voice of truth in the encounter 101. So it was just a experience that brought me to a different level of trust in God. Sometimes we say we trust God, but we really haven't gone through the test tribulation, but going through the experiences that we have to go through, that we can know and rest when the enemy comes in, that we can rest knowing that God has us. So it was a lot that I learned from the experience. So I might be babbling because I'm always driving, but I was doing a lot of writing at the retreat. So what I was experiencing, I wrote it down so I can go back and look at it.
Amen.
I can say that I got a lot, even to the press.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord for the retreat, and like I say, I've been sharing it with others. It's just like one word from God is enough, but
Amen. Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing. I do want to bring to the table the fact that, we have a couple of members that are experiencing some infirmities and medical issues that we want to pray for them today. I asked Elder Deborah, if you will remember Elder Roberta and Evangelist Marmot. So if you know of anybody else that is experiencing medical or life challenges from our Fellowship of Learning, please make sure we know so that we can bind together and pray for them and pray with them and rejoice in God's hand on their life. And, you know, he tells us that all things will work for the good. Those are promises that we stand on, and we are empowered by that promise. All things work for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to it. And that also causes us to rejoice with our sisters because God has promises on their life, and all his promises are yea and amen. So, Elder Deborah, if you could end our session today with prayer, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we still ourselves in your presence, O God. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that heals. O God, we thank you for your providential care. I would ask that you would visit in a special way. I know we don't send you anywhere, O God, because you are omnipresent, O God. But I'd ask that you would just be present in their rooms, if it's a hospital room, if it's a bedroom, oh God, to let them know that they are not alone in this, oh God, and that throughout their situation, they don't have to worry about being alone because you promised that you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, oh God. We know that we are your beloved, Lord. We thank you that you love us so much that you number the hairs on our head, oh God, that you order our steps, oh God. Remind them that before they were knit together in their mother's womb, that you had them, that they are the called. Oh God, sometimes the pressures of this world, negative news, sometimes those things overwhelm us, oh God. I pray that you would just remind them of whose they are and who they are. Oh God, that they are the very righteousness of God, oh God, that they are the beloved, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High, oh God. And you have told us in your word that we can ask what we will. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we consider it so that every muscle, every organ, every tissue and sinew would operate as divinely designed in the name of Jesus, oh God. Give them people around them, oh God. Bless every doctor, every technician, every nurse that comes into their privy, oh God, that they would know you, oh God, that there would just be a presence of your presence wherever they are, oh God. Those things that they are doubting, those things that they might be feeling in the natural, oh God, I pray that you would just elevate them to where they're seeing this spiritually, oh God, whatever the lesson, and I say that guardedly, but whatever it is that we learn as we go through, that we understand that this present suffering doesn't even compare to what you have for us, oh God. That this is so temporary, oh God. So I just ask that you would be with them. I pray that the Fellowship of Learners would bind together, oh God, and hold them up, calling out their names before you, oh God. We know that you are faithful, and we know that they are yours, oh God, and they believe and they love you, oh God. Yeah. So I just ask that you would help their unbelief. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Enjoy your worship, and have a blessed Thanksgiving Day. Remember, our days are always thankful to the Most High God, but make a special effort to reach out and share your bounty with someone else. Share your story, share your testimony, share your blessings, share your abundance, share your benefits with someone else. So have a blessed, blessed Thanksgiving, okay? And we'll be back on next Friday, even though I don't know if you guys are going to be trying to be out there on the shopping spree, but we will be here on Blog Talk Radio. We will call this White Friday, okay?
Amen.
Green Friday, amen. Whatever, okay? Holy Friday. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Black Friday. You got to get your thing on, get your thing on, but be on the line by 9 o'clock. Okay? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right.